Praise the Lord, and hello again. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're in part 47 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and this is program number 149 on this particular subject. And we have, at the end of this program, we're going to show you, tell you four different ways that you can receive the program. We have several letters, and right now let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to pour out His Spirit, His outward anointing, so that the things that I say, Father God, are not those that come into my own mind, or that are of my own mind, but that they are coming directly from Your throne. Cascade down Your voice into me, Lord. Take me over completely. Take over this program so that, Lord, and let people know without a doubt that this is not me that talks, but that it's You talking from the kingdom of heaven. Use my mouth in the name of Jesus to save souls, and for that's the purpose, and Lord, to edify, to strengthen the church. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from?
From Malawi, Central Africa.
Okay, let's hear what they say.
Dear brother in Christ, we greet you in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May grace, peace, and joy be multiplied unto you and the entire church through God the Father, the Son Jesus Christ our Lord, and the Holy Spirit. For the Father lavished His love upon us, that we should be called the children of God, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. We praise God for your ministry, which has really blessed many souls in Malawi through the newsletters, literature, and Bibles you have been sending to us. Thank you very much. We love you. Over 516 souls were saved. Our vision and mission this year will be to advance our army of God to the activities of the rural areas of Malawi and Mozambique. We will mobilize more and more people beyond denominations for prayer, revival, spiritual warfare, fasting, deliverance, and healing ministries every fortnight. Brother Pastor Tony, we request you to send to us more literature, books, Bibles, cassettes, and at least $1,700 for this challenging cause. You know Malawi has been hit with hunger, resulting in many people sleeping without food. The $1,700 will be used to buy food, medicine, and second-hand clothes for orphans and widows. Please, Pastor Tony, assist us. We will never leave you until you bless us. Be assured of our continued intercessory prayers day and night. Looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Yours in Christ's exciting service, Reverend Humphrey from Malawi, Central Africa.
This is not the first letter that these people have written to us down through the years, and so we definitely have already... I've already instructed people to do that, to send them the money, because there are people that are hurting. And if you people would like to help them out, we could give you their address. You don't have to send the money to us. You can just send it directly to them. And there's many other people that if you'd like to have the address of them, we could give it to you so that you know that we're not spending the money. All right, and then where's the next letter coming from?
From Andhra Pradesh, India. Dear Pastor Alamo, greetings to you in the name of Jesus Christ. May God give you health and wealth more and more. I remember you and your great literature, Earthquake. Last night I read your tract, Earthquake, in the Telugu version, and really my heart was broken. I wept at our Savior's feet. I was a sinner, but I am living only by our Savior's mercy. What a wonderful piece of literature from you to melt my heart. Pastor, I am a deserted woman. I am living with Jesus Christ's mercy every second, and through my illness, God gives me strength. We want your support. Always pray for my small prayer group. We have mostly Hindu neighbors, so if possible, please send us the Messiah in the Telugu version, Telugu Bibles, and more heart-touching literature. I am really thankful to you, awaiting your reply, your sister in Christ, Malati, from Andhra Pradesh, India.
Praise the Lord. The next letter?
From Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Dear sir, first of all, receive greetings and love in the precious name of the Lion of Judah, Jesus, who has called you into His kingdom of grace. Amen. I am full of happiness since I received some of your literature through my friend. Your literature is the best food for my soul, and they provide me with refreshment. I thank God for bringing up such a wonderful and God-fearing man like you, who is capable of extinguishing the fire of evil in these last days. I am a student, and I recently accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Our good God, in His infinite mercy, has saved me from my sins, and it is my prayer that He should save other sinners. Please, sir, I would be very grateful if you send me a Bible, some of your literature, and the book Messiah, as well as taped messages and video cassettes to aid my spiritual growth in the Lord. Pastor, I hope that you will not forget to send us all of my requests, and may God Almighty bless you, and may you continue on your journey of spiritual growth and enlightenment. Amen. Your son in Christ, Kelvin, from Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. You know, anyone that's hearing my voice, if you haven't the finances to purchase a Bible for yourself, just let us know. And if you need literature, if you'd like to become a distributor, just let us know, and we'll send you lots of literature and Messiah books, Bibles, and tapes, as well as if you're a distributor, you get a T-shirt with the church name on it. All right, and is that all the letters now?
Yes.
All right, Sharon, let's start reading here from the 25th chapter of Matthew. But before that, let's do the last four verses, because we were reading from the 5th chapter of John, and I'd like to just finish up the last four verses there. Okay, let's go.
How can ye believe which receive honor one of another?
Okay, read the verse before.
I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name.
In other words, I'm coming, preaching, and I'm not talking, I'm not saying the things that I would say, because the words that I speak are not my own, but the Father's, he said. So I'm not coming talking about myself or coming up with some doctrine of man, but I'm coming in the name of my Father in the kingdom of heaven, and I'm preaching the things and teaching the things that he is currently speaking through me. And the Lord stated that even those of us that are go to court, if they take us into secular courts, and I've been there many times for preaching the gospel, don't even think of anything what to say. I mean, if you're thoroughly furnished with the Word of God, Jesus said that your Father, which is in heaven, will talk through you. And I saw that work so many times. It was just wonderful, because I just did what he said. I didn't think of anything that I was going to say. And it's just marvelous the things that the Lord says through you. One time when I was in a courtroom in Los Angeles, this one person said that I had I don't even know if I should say it, because there's so many bad accusations. I don't like to repeat the things that the devil says about us. But if I would write everything down, that the lies that people have told about me, I would I'd sound worse than Adolf Hitler and Stalin and Ho Chi Minh and everybody. But this one girl, it was the daughter of my late wife, Susan. And she, because of the fact that I was married to Sue, I got married to her, and she was jealous. And she accused me of raping her, of all things. And so the district attorney asked me, did you rape Christine Kui, the name she goes by. Incidentally, she lives off of suing people. There's at least 7 to 9 lawsuits that we knew of around 10 years ago, that she was a health food store. She had her stomach stapled because she was extremely obese, and morbidly obese, actually. She'd eat an entire, I don't want to go into her diet, a whole cake and so on and so forth, and she just couldn't help from being obese. And she said that I shot a harpoon at her, and she was on drugs on top of everything else. She totally turned her back on God. And so I says, no, I've never And the words just came out, I have never raped a water buffalo. I was actually wanting to say an elephant, but everybody in the courtroom started laughing like crazy, and I wanted to put a hand on my mouth for saying it, but they've never, ever accused me of anything like that. Again, it was just a funny thing. So it really works out. God actually said that through my mouth. I've never raped any water buffalo, okay? Now you say, why would he say something like that? Well, because just to give you an illustration how God talks through people's mouths when they just let him. And that just, I made a joke out of the thing that she was saying. Everybody knows that I would never rape this humongous looking thing. Now if you're, morbidly obese, I mean, I'm not trying to say anything that would hurt you or anything like that. I'm just saying what the Lord said through me. If you got a beef, go to him. All right, not me. All right, then what?
I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not.
No, so I'm coming in my Father's name, in his name, in my name, in the Holy Spirit's name, is the Word of God. And you won't receive me, the Word of God. Then what? If and the Word became flesh. That's me, the Lord says. Then what?
If another shall come in his own name.
But if, you know, somebody like the Pope or Bush, they come in their name, or a king or a queen, or even just a motion picture star or a sports star or something like that. Then what? You'll hear him. Amen?
Yes. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive.
Yeah, you'll receive what they say. Then what?
How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?
Right, see, I'm not at all concerned about you or anybody else honoring me. Like, if I did, these letters that I get are so fantastic. I mean, I used to be connected with Elvis Presley, the Beatles, and many other major stars, and I saw the mail that they got, and it was really good, but it was nothing in comparison to the mail that I get. I mean, people just, you know, they're calling me their dad, spiritual dad, and all that kind of stuff. And you hear the letters, and it just doesn't get to me because I'm not at all interested in the things that come from mankind, because I'm very happy that they appreciate what I'm doing, and the Bible says that you're supposed to give double honor to those that rule well in the Word, but not to worship them or anything, just to, you can say, you're doing a fine job in the things that these people are saying, but it doesn't puff me up or anything like that at all. Everybody can tell you that I'm the same way today as I was 41 and a half years ago when I first received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But the only difference in me now is that I am much wiser in the Lord, and I've had all the experience in the gospel field. And like I said, I've been accused of so many different things that it's just unbelievable. Another thing, I could just go on all day of the false things that they said and the clever, the most fantastic answers that the Lord gave me. And more than that, on top of that, though, is like, look at the messages that the Lord has me bring. They're not from me. They're from Him. And people should give honor to God, amen?
Amen.
Because the words that that He gives are words of strength and courage and power and dominion. And the Lord has saved our souls to take power and dominion in this world, to rule for the Lord. But it's not us ruling, it's Him in us. And after all, I mean, the Lord has the right to rule over His own planet. Amen?
Amen.
And over the men and women and children that He created out of the dirt of the ground. Who else more than God would have the right to such a privilege as this? So the words that I speak, and the same thing with Jesus that He spoke, were not His own. They were the Father's. And yet you must pay attention to him. But these people, the Jews and now the Gentiles, they don't receive the things of the Lord. If they did, we would be this mountainside and the whole area wherever we go would be crowded with throngs of people. They did with him, but there was as many that did not receive him. All right? There was the high echelon, the people sitting in high places of wickedness. All right, then what?
Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father.
No, I'm not going to accuse you to the Father. The writings of Moses accuses you. Okay, go ahead.
There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust.
Because Moses, God gave Moses the words to say that there's going to be one coming, like unto Moses. Of course, one far greater than Moses. Okay, then what?
For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me.
Because he wrote of Jesus. He wrote about him. Then what?
For he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?
Yeah, if you don't believe Moses who wrote about Jesus, and here he is fulfilling all the things that Moses and all the other prophets said about him, well then, you know, you can just X out your ability to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven, because if you don't believe the words of Moses, it's for sure you wouldn't believe the things that Jesus said, because you say, how do we know these people that belong to false religions, they don't believe that Jesus is God. They don't even believe that he's the only way, the only truth, the only life to enter the kingdom of God. And because they've never read all the 333 prophecies of Christ coming in the Old Testament, which I've condensed into the Messiah book. If you want to read those prophecies, condensed into a small book. Send for that. It's free of charge, and you will get a greater faith from it. You'll know that Jesus is the definite promised one. The Bible tells of the exact day that Jesus would be born, the Messiah would be born, and Jesus was born on that exact day. The Bible tells of the exact day that he would die, and Jesus died on that same day. And then the Bible tells us how he would die, that he'd be nailed to a tree, a cross, and that he'd be pierced in the side. He would be sold for 30 pieces of silver, just as he was. And I've only mentioned about five prophecies here, and there's 320 some odd more that you'll read in the Messiah book. And we have it in many... I've had it... written in many languages. So, you know, we've got Polish, Spanish, Russian, Romanian, Japanese, Chinese, of course, did I say Spanish, and so on. Okay, so, I don't know, maybe 30 different languages. Okay, then what? Okay, now we go to the 25th chapter of Matthew.
Verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins.
Okay, here after the Lord is talking about all the different signs that would be occurring during the end of time, he tells us of the earthquakes, and I mentioned all these things, the wars, the rumors of wars, and they have stated, it's actual documented that there are more wars in the last 5 years than there has been in all history in the world right now today. So, and there's more earthquakes today than there has been in history. Sometimes in one day there's more earthquakes than there was in history before. Sometimes it'd be recorded 5 or 10 earthquakes a year, but now there's 10,000 a day. Or they'll say, well, that's because they didn't have the kind of equipment today to back then to detect the amount of earthquakes that were happening. As this one man that I just told you, the earth has actually been moved off of its axis. And just as the Bible said it would be. And that was just from one of the earthquakes. Just one of the earthquakes. There's never been an earthquake like that before. And all the diseases, this has never happened in history. Not as many as we have today. So it's the end of time. And The gospel is being preached throughout the world, and that's one of the very last signs, through television and radio and mail and the internet, websites and so on. So, you know, it's the end. And the Lord is standing at the door, and there isn't any time left. Just moments, so get yourself ready. Then what?
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps.
Okay, so he's telling that after all these signs, then here comes the kingdom of heaven. And here's what's going to happen. He says the time is, the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night, because people don't pay any heed to his warnings. And so the thing that the Lord wants more than anything is to be believed. And that's what Adam and Eve didn't do. And that's why we all are suffering today. We have to be regenerated. And we'll keep reading.
And went forth to meet the bridegroom.
And so here we are at the end of time, and now the Lord is suddenly coming. It's going to be a sudden thing. And there's 10 virgins. 5 of them are foolish and 5 are wise. And so the wise ones are the ones that keep reading the Bible and have the Spirit of God in them. The foolish ones have let the Spirit of God depart from them. They didn't care enough about the Lord and what he says to study it diligently so that they could know the signs of the time. Just as the wise men that went to visit the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, they knew the Spirit was showing them, and the reason that they were wise is because they fear God. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us that that's the whole duty of man, is to fear God and keep his commandments. And so the fear of the Lord, Proverbs says, is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is wisdom. And so if you don't fear God, if you do fear God, is a matter of your choice. If you read the Word, and if you look around the world and see the things that are occurring right now, you should fear and tremble at God's Word because of how utterly true it is. And and the Lord has shown us signs and wonders. He said in the last days he'd pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and his old men will dream dreams, and young men shall see visions, and he'll pour out his Spirit upon his servants and handmaids, and they shall prophesy. Well, we're living in that day. I mean, I've seen, when I was young, I saw a lot of visions, and I actually, as I got older, I saw dreams and signs and wonders, and the Lord talks to me. And it just seems so incredible that people don't believe that he exists, that he hears when you pray to him, and that he answers. But I can sympathize with a lot of people out there, because I was totally void of the understanding that God even exists. And that's why the Lord says, you were that way, now you go out and preach to them and convince them. Convince the gainsayer to get into the house of the Lord. Well, the house of the Lord is the body of Christ. You're the house of the Lord, and the Lord is your house. And the Lord states that he, the Father, lives in him by the Spirit, and that now that he has gone into heaven, he has become the Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit. And now he comes and lives in us, the full Godhead. And now he's saying these people in these end times, did 5 of them, half of them didn't believe that the Lord was coming, that he delayed the coming, that he's delaying his coming. And so those sort of people are wicked. But go ahead and keep reading. And the ones that believe him, they have oil, the Holy Spirit in them. And when the Lord comes, they go up to meet him. And this happens immediately after the tribulations. There's no pre-tribulation rapture. Don't believe anyone that says that. When you hear them saying that on TV or anywhere, you know that you're either talking to a person that's not mature in the Lord, and they don't know the Bible, or you're talking to a devil. Okay, then what? You're listening to a devil. Then what?
And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them.
In other words, they didn't walk in the Spirit. And there's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, like these five, but after the Spirit, which these five wise people did, the five bride, the five virgins. So there's five foolish virgins and five wise. The wise were walked in the Spirit so that they wouldn't be condemned. The ones that were foolish did not walk in the Spirit, and they are condemned. Okay, then what?
But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps.
Oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Then what?
While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made.
While the Lord didn't come immediately, they said, he's not coming, we'll kick back and relax, and we won't do any works of God, and we won't read and pray. And then all of a sudden, the terrible day of judgment comes for those, and the happy time of meeting the Lord in the sky happens to the five wise virgins. It's so easy with all the distractions today for people just to be distracted because they don't have the Word of God in them to give them the power and the blessing of reading the Word of God. It blesses you and it gives you strength and causes you to have the strength to just keep your mind on the Lord. All right, then what?
And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him."
At midnight? Oh, okay, then what?
Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps.
What about all these people that didn't have any oil in their lamp, and a mudslide comes down and kills all 2,000 of them in a little town? Or a tsunami comes and kills 300,000 people at one time? They don't have any time anymore to seek the Lord or to read the Bible, to get some Spirit of God in them. What about an earthquake that destroys 300,000 or 100,000 people or a 500,000? And what about when the world is moved off of its axis more than it already has been, and all the mountains disappear in the hills, and every building in the world is leveled? You're not going to have the time. So, you know, people believe in insurance policies. The best insurance policy that you could ever have for yourself is to get your soul right with the Lord and stay into the Word of God so that you've got oil in your lamp so that when the Lord comes that you're going to meet him and that you're not going to be stranded and left behind. And, you know, these people that are telling that there's no, that there's going to be a rapture before the end of the tribulations, why would God rapture a bunch of nothings that are sitting in a church, these churches that are preaching false doctrines and everything, and they're just watching these, listening to singers, and this is such a beautiful speaker, and these huffers and puffers, the Lord is this and that, and this is not the Lord. No prophets ever talk like that. The prophets talk like the Lord talks. The Lord doesn't huff and puff. You notice me huffing and puffing?
No.
And you know that God is talking. It's the Lord talking when I'm doing messages. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so, you know, let's wake up. These people that are... and you don't hear the Lord saying now, everyone send $1,000. Join the club, you know, and send $1,000, and then so we can open more stations to get more of our false doctrine out. If you're backing that kind of thing up rather than, you know, Jesus never had a big church, television programs, big orchestra and choirs. He never hustled people for money. You know, you've got these professional hustlers. I mean, they're fundraisers. And they get huge commissions for raising funds. They go from one program to the next. Hey, we need you over here, man. You know, come over and raise some money for us, and we'll give you like 40 or 50% or whatever they give them. These people, you know, they're out for the buck. Don't listen to them when they're telling you smooth things that you're not going to go through any tribulations. Those people that got hit with that mudslide and the tsunamis and earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes and typhoons, they thought that that was tribulations. Amen?
Amen.
And the people that are hit with heart disease, leukemia, cancer, and all the other dreaded diseases like AIDS and syphilis and everything else that's happening in the world today, they think they're in tribulations. Amen?
Amen.
But will they call on the Lord for healing now? Because they don't believe he exists. The Lord says, by my stripes you were healed. But you get saved. Ask the Lord to come into you, and then the Savior and the healer enters into you, and you're healed. Okay, then what?
And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.
Oh, yeah, just like the people in Noah's day. I always call Noah's Ark the world's greatest emery board. They were scratching and clawing on it with their fingernails to try to get in, but the Lord had sealed the door shut, and they couldn't. It was too late. Too late. And it's going to be too late also for these five virgins. And you, if you're not filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to be, oh, give us some oil. They're going to come to people like myself that is filled with the Holy Spirit and say, give us something of what you have. What am I going to do? Preach a gospel message when the Lord's coming? No, I'm going to go to meet him. I'm not going to lag behind and deal with some lazy person and some unconcerned person for their soul. The Bible states that there's a time when there will be no more salvation or mercy offered from the Lord. He'll close the door to the ability for you to be saved. And you don't know when that day is going to be. So the best thing for you, the only thing that you can do to ensure that you're going to be saved is to get saved on this program today. Then what else?
But the wise answered, saying, not so.
No, we're not going to deal with you, you careless person, or you five careless people. And what?
Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut.
Yeah, into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the door, just like Noah's Ark, was sealed, and you can't get into the kingdom of heaven. God is not your sucker, okay? Some people think that God's a sucker, you know, that they just, you know, when they get good and ready, they're going to get right with him. That's what the Lord is calling here the foolish virgins. He's not your sucker. You're the sucker. You're Satan's sucker. You believe Satan rather than the Lord. Satan's sucker. Then what?
Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not.
I don't know you. You didn't seek me, and you never talked to me, and I never talked back to you. You didn't believe that I was here to talk to you. God gets honor when you believe what he says. You people believe President Bush when his clever speech writers get together and write whatever they know will tickle your ears, but you don't believe the Lord. No, you listen to Satan. Because the Lord to you, the Lord doesn't exist to you, right? The Bible's a comic book to you, right? Is that what it is to you? You'll think comic book in hell in the lake of fire. Okay, then what else?
Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.
Right, you don't know when, for instance, you say, well, the Lord's not going to come right away. But you don't know that he's not going to snap the breath out of you a minute from now. You know, you'd get too gross and too unconcerned. He'll just teach you a lesson right now. I was driving down the freeway one time when I used to drive. My eyes are so bad now I have to wear shades and I have to have people read for me because I just can't read that fast. I have to use the seeing machine. But all of a sudden I'm just going along and about 10 cars up, a Volkswagen jumped up into the air and turned on its upside down, going about 60 miles an hour, and everybody in the Volkswagen was killed. I've seen pictures, and I'm sure everybody in Los Angeles did in the L.A. Times, where a truck was going down the freeway, and all of a sudden there was an earthquake, and it looked like a mouse that had been caught in a trap. One of the overpasses fell right on the head, right in the front part of the truck, and the rear end of the truck was sticking up in the air just like a mouse when it's caught in a trap. And this guy was pulp. Because those overpasses weigh a lot. That concrete weighs, and steel weighs a lot. He was dead. A motorcycle cop who probably was thumbing his nose at the Lord was driving down the freeway, and the overpass that fell down wasn't there anymore, and he just rode right off the overpass and got killed on his motorcycle. Oh, God knows how to get you. Okay? Now, he's not looking to get you. He wants you to repent, but if you have made up your mind, your heart and soul to just thumb your nose at God. Yeah, he's a stupid old God that's just sitting up there, half hears, half sees, sitting in a rocking chair, senile. You'll just thumb your nose at him. Let me tell you something. The Lord is as vibrant today as he was from the very beginning. God never changes. He's powerful. If he weren't, the world wouldn't be able to sit in the air like it does, the earth and all the other planets. He's holding them together with his spirit. All right? So, you know, I'm saying these things not to insult you. I'm telling you the truth. The Lord is through me in hopes that, so that you have an opportunity to accept the Lord, because you do have a free will. God made us all with a free will. We can will to do our own will, or the will of Satan, or the will of somebody that you like or love, or the will of some movie star that you admire, or the will of some teacher, or the will of your husband, your wife, your child, or you could do the will of the Lord. And if you put anybody in front of the Lord says that he doesn't like that, okay? You should be more quick to be concerned about your Creator and Savior and Healer than anyone else in the world. Anyone that puts mother, father, sister, brother, son, daughter, or anybody before me is not worthy of me. He will not receive you. Okay, then what?
For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability.
Now you read some of these study Bibles and they'll tell you that this is money, that God leaves you money. When the Lord saved my soul, he didn't give me any money at all. As a matter of fact, I started going, losing everything that I had because he didn't want me to rely on money. I had a Beatles album, and I still have it, and I had other masters that were worth a lot of money, but the Lord wouldn't let me sell them because he wanted me to get rooted and grounded in the Word, and he didn't want me to join any church because, and I didn't want to either. But he put me with a very strong Christian woman who later the Lord showed us visions that we were to be married, and we did. And we are the ones that the Lord used to kick off the Jesus movement throughout the entire world. What you see today was caused from the spiritual movement that the Lord did through Susie and myself. And since then, we started out, and I knew all the time that this was going to be big. We didn't have any money, and the Lord didn't want us to have any money, not for a while. And the Lord, as He sends finances in, it goes right back out. If you think we've got some big bank accounts, you've got a very wrong opinion of us. So many people reach out and they want thousands of dollars. But we don't have thousands of dollars to do the things that a lot of people want us to do. But we do, when money comes in, we buy Bibles, and we have them printed. And we print literature. And we support thousands of people with food, clothing, housing, and people all over the world. Like somebody will write us, they prove to us that there's a big necessity for money at one of these tsunamis or where a place has been hit hard, and we'll send them thousands of dollars, and they will then help provide food and shelter and clothing for the people there. And we see other works doing that. That isn't. That's just one of the things that the Lord requires of us. But we don't have any big bank accounts. I'd hate to have millions of dollars in the bank and have the Lord come back and say, why didn't you distribute that finances to the poor and the needy? All those finances in the bank, what are you doing in there? Okay, then what?
And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents.
So now these talents, in other words, are talking about winning souls. Now the Lord gives you spiritual ability. Some are capable of winning 5 to 10 souls. Some are, God gives the ability to win maybe your household. And God gives the ability for some person to maybe at least win 1 soul. And God gives people the ability to win hundreds, thousands, and millions of souls. And it would be a real, it would be a bad day at judgment for you if you didn't use the abilities, the spiritual power that the Lord gave you to win souls after He has given you that ability. And the more you win, He gives you even more ability to win souls. And that's what this is all about. I heard some evangelist on TV, well-known one too, saying that, no, it's money. He says he's given money, and it says because it says that he could have put it in the bank. What that means is that it doesn't mean that you put it in the bank. What it means is that you could have given it to somebody that you see is winning souls, and you're banking treasure in the kingdom of heaven. The Lord doesn't speak in the carnality like that. That also was said by Reverend Hagee from San Antonio, Texas. That's just every time I tune in on these guys, it's just the Lord hasn't given them the enlightenment that He's given to me. I don't think that some of these pastors or preachers or teachers live at all close to God. They just study here and there other people's messages, and they say what they say. I know where he got that story from, because it's in study Bibles. You should stay away from study Bibles, because there's a lot of good things in there, but there's so much bad that it could throw your soul, such as eternal security, and that you can still sin, and that God loves you unconditionally, and all these other, that the rapture is going to come and get you, even though you haven't done anything really for the Lord but sit in a church and warm the pews. It's not going to happen. All right, what else?
And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money.
Well, he hid it. In other words, the earth, we're made out of the earth, the dirt of the ground, right? And so he hid what he could have preached inside him. He kept it inside. He didn't go and dig a hole in the backyard. All right? But he hid what the Lord, the ability to win souls within him, and therefore he didn't win a soul. But he could have taken that talent and gone into a church and stood up when he was called to testify and testified of what God has done for him. And maybe some unsaved person that's in there would receive his testimony and gotten saved. And that way, in that way, he would have multiplied the Lord's bride, because the bride of Christ is us, those of us that are saved. And that's what we're about, is doing good, is winning souls, collecting the Lord's bride. All the different souls that are saved have the Spirit of God living in them. And that's what this message is all about, is how to have God's life living in you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and so keep going. And that's what this whole Bible is about. God wants to live in you like he did Adam and Eve before they fell. He wants to restore you to being a God-man or a God-woman. It's all about restoration. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.
In other words, you saved my soul. You gave me the ability and a zeal in me to go win souls. And I got to... In other words, some people get saved and their whole family gets saved because they start telling them, so they had 5 souls. And then they go out and win 5 more. All right, then what?
His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things.
These people that talk about that it's money, it's because they are fundraisers, and they want you to believe that you should use your money to give to their fundraising ministry so that they can open up more television programs and so on to raise more money. To tell you false doctrine. Okay, then what?
Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant.
You've doubled what I gave you. Okay, then what? You've produced. You've let me work in you and through you. Nothing to do with money. Okay, then what else?
Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.
Many things. He didn't say, I'm going to give you a big bankroll. Did he?
No.
Well, I'm going to give you, gave you 2 talents, you doubled it, so I'm going to give you a bag full of money. No, he's going to have him rule. He's now ruling over his own spirit because of the power that the Lord gave him. And he went out and let the Lord talk through him, and he won some souls. And so the Lord says, I'm going to, you've ruled over your household. You roll over yourself, then your household, and then the church. You had 1 church, 2 churches. And now I'm going to let you rule over many other bags of money. Huh? Or more things. Read it again. What is he going to give?
I will make thee ruler over many things.
Right. Those that win many souls, the Bible says, Jesus said he's going to make them rulers in the kingdom of heaven. And they shall rule with a rod of iron. What's the rod of iron? The word of God, yes. Amen?
Yeah.
It's unmovable, unshakable. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then what?
Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed.
And so his opinion of the Lord is that he's a hard man. And he reaps where he didn't sow. The Lord sowed the talents to these guys in the first place, so he did sow. So he's lying, bringing false accusations against God. Amen?
Amen.
And he's given us the ability to win souls, so how is it then that Jesus... that God, the triune God, didn't give us the ability to do, that he didn't sow the seed, Christ, into us, and then let Christ grow in us to where, and give us the ability to let him rule in us and through us and in our homes and in our communities, our churches. And he's saying, I know you're a hard dude, God, that you are a hard man, and you don't sow anything, and all you do is just reap. No, this man is saying that God is the same way as he is. Okay, then what else? As this man is. Then what?
And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine.
What?
There thou hast that is thine.
So, in other words, here I am, you know, you gave it to me and I didn't do anything. You sowed into me, but it didn't grow. So what God did there was sow, the seed was sown, just like we sow the seed of God everywhere. And some of it hits stony ground. Amen?
Amen.
And it just doesn't grow because it's shallow ground. It just springs up for a minute, or it just goes by the wayside and it doesn't grow at all. And that's what happened with this guy. He's the wayside. The seed just stayed on the ground and didn't multiply anything. Okay, then what?
His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed.
Well, in other words, the Lord did sow into him, but he's just saying, you know that, is that's what you know, huh? Okay, then what?
Thou oughtest, therefore, to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury.
So some people think that this money exchangers, these are symbolic of you should have started sowing it into different areas to where it would have multiplied and caused people to become members of my body, which would be my bride. Amen?
Amen.
It's not going down to a money exchange. These people are talking about going to the stock exchange, to the banks. So what else?
Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath.
Right. If you don't use your abilities that the Lord has given you to win, so to do the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through you, which is the Holy Spirit is Christ with the Father. Jesus said, I am the Father. I'm the Almighty God. The Bible says that when Christ was born, that he was Emmanuel, God with us. Amen?
Amen.
So he's God. Amen?
Amen.
Read that last verse.
For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance.
So the Lord doesn't like people that don't have the Spirit and don't want the Spirit, and don't want the Spirit, the whole Godhead working in and through them. Those are rejects, they're chaff. Then what?
But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath.
Right. Maybe he hasn't got anything because he didn't sow anything. If you've got 100,000 acres or even 1 acre or even a backyard, and you don't sow any seed in the backyard, you're not going to have anything. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you say, well, I work at an office job. Well, you have to let the Lord see the seed, which is Christ, enter into you in order for you to be saved. All right? Okay, then, go ahead.
And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness.
Yeah, so in other words, it's saying if you don't produce, you're going into outer darkness. You're going to be where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth.
There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Amen. And so, you know, do you want the seed of God sown into you? Do you want to be able to receive the Lord Jesus Christ with his Father and the Spirit, the full Godhead, to enter into you? You can do that right now. My time is up. And so the Lord is giving you an opportunity to be saved now. And all you have to do to start it out is to say this prayer to the Lord. And you just can repeat it after me, and He'll hear you. Say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because Your word says so. Your word is Your bond. You are the word of God. The word was God. The word is God and became flesh. And Your word, which is God, says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know You've heard me, and I know that You've answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Now just raise your hands up in the air and praise and thank the Lord. And keep reading the Bible and seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have to be baptized also in water, fully submerged. Now, I told you at the beginning of the program how you'd be able to get a copy of Program 149. Specify, please, whether it's a CD or a tape. And Sharon, tell them how they can receive the tape, a Bible, a Messiah book, literature, etc.
Go to alamoministries.com.
It's all free of charge.
Or write Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505.
It's all free of charge. Then what?
Or call area code 479-782-7370. Or fax.
Oh, it's all free of charge. Or fax.
Area code 479-782-7406.
It's all free of charge. Bibles, whatever you want, because the Lord gave me salvation freely. And I wouldn't charge for anything gospel. You'd have to cut my head off first before I do that. It's free of charge. If you want to tithe, you have to do that anyway. Or else you're robbing God, God said. And you don't want to rob God. I'd rather go down and hit a 7-Eleven before I'd rob God. Amen? You're robbing the wrong person. Okay, and of course I'm not going to hit any 7-Eleven. All right, and I don't recommend that you do either. Don't you do that. That's against God's word, to steal, to rob. All right, now, tomorrow we'll be doing part 48 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And so until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.